Welcome to Birth on Film, a podcast discussing and analysing depictions of pregnancy, birth, and the postpartum in popular culture. We are your hosts, Emma, a midwife,
and James, her mid-husband, coming to you from Ngunnawal country in the Australian Capital Territory.
Welcome to episode 2 and the 2007 movie
Knocked Up. So this one stars Seth Rogen and Katherine Heigl as Ben and Allison.
It was written and directed by Judd Apatow.
And it made a heap of money. It only cost 25 mil, but earned worldwide 219.9 million. So a big old success in terms of money.
On Rotten Tomatoes, it's got an 89% critic score and an 83% audience score.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Why did we pick this one?
So I think this one came out 2007, just after high school.
Yes.
Thereabouts for us. And I think there was a lot of hype about how graphic the birth scene was.
Yes.
It's the kind of thing that I imagine on the playground. It'd be like, oh, bro, did you see that movie? Oh, it was so gross. Yes. They did so much stuff in the birth room. You saw so much. Ugh.
That's like what that stuck kind of in movies. My head, I think.
Yeah.
As a movie for us to cover off here. I don't know if it was news reports or if it was just social media buzz, but that people were fainting in the cinema from how graphic the birth scene was.
Yeah.
And for me at the time, very pre-midwifery days, I actually didn't – that put me off seeing it completely. I didn't see it for years later.
I'm not sure that I definitely didn't see this movie in cinemas. I was probably put off the same way that you kind of were. But I think I might have seen it later on. I don't remember it very well from that. It's not your kind of movie. Let's just get that straight.
Yes.
This is a stoner dude bro movie that's very, very heavily in the ballpark of, it feels like a movie with Seth Rogen and his mates kind of just messing around.
So
tell me about this movie. What is this movie about?
The synopsis of this movie is a one-night stand results in an unexpected pregnancy for Allison, who tries to make things work with the slacker who knocked her up.
The slacker.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
that's
sure.
Their description. So this movie is essentially just setting up for a birth. And we know birth happens because that was driven home in the way that this movie was marketed. I mean, it's a touchstone for both of us that we remember people talking about the graphicness of the birth.
Yeah.
It's also worth noting that this movie was rated R in America.
Yes.
Not, I don't think, because of the birth scene.
I think that the hype was they rated it R because of the birth scene. But in reality, well, no, the birth scene's probably enough because of the female anatomy they show, regardless of what state it's in. They wouldn't show that in a not R movie. But yeah, swears and drugs throughout this movie. Like, yes. It's definitely an R-rated movie from the US system.
And in Australia, it got MA15+.
Yeah, and there's sex.
Which is essentially where the movie starts.
Yeah, well, the movie starts before that. The movie starts with a montage of these two respective people's lives. And it's...
Who couldn't be more opposite, essentially.
It's Seth Rogen's character, Ben, being a stereotypical stoner, no real ambition, sit on the couch. Yeah, with his... some number of mates living in a, like, it looks like an abandoned house that they're probably not paying for.
And they're working on a website.
Yeah. A website that tells you where naked women show up in movies. And Katherine Heigl's character, do you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, she's the opposite. Career-driven, successful, that's just being promoted in her TV job.
Yeah, from being a personal assistant to being
on the camera.
On camera, doing interviews. And she lives with her sister's family.
Established early on that she's 23 years old.
Oh, cool. Yes. I missed that.
Yes.
And he's 20-something as well. He's a young...
They're young.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she goes out to celebrate her promotion, has a bit to drink.
He goes out to celebrate nothing. That's just his lifestyle. He lives in bars and on the couch smoking weed.
And they end up hooking up.
Well, not quite. In the act of getting nasty, where a very important sequence happens.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't like how this played out, to be honest.
It's really soured.
It feels...
I feel like it was less... obviously wrong in 2007 than it is today.
Yes. So they're getting ready to have sex and he's talking about to put on a condom and she says...
She's just getting impatient. She wants to get on with with the task at hand.
And he takes that communication as just don't bother with it.
Yeah, her words are just do it already.
Yes.
And he's like, okay. And then he very, very like out in the open, throws the condom away across the room. So it's not quite stealthing, but it's like hair close to stealthing.
Yeah. She doesn't realize.
She doesn't realize, which is the important part, right? That's right. That's what makes it.
Yes. Yeah. So then we cut to the next morning. They go out to breakfast together and it's very clear that they're...
She's got some regrets. And yes. He's like, oh my God, I slept with this woman?
Yes. She's not amazing. On the same page.
Yeah.
Except that then we cut to the next screen, embryo developing, with the words on the screen 8 weeks later, which I took issue with because what they're showing cell development-wise would be happening sort of within 48 hours. I don't know if they're suggesting that cell development is happening 8 weeks later or if they're saying this has happened and now, like, the next shot is 8 weeks later.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's all
a little bit.
It's weird.
But then the next shot is her at work, and we love a pregnancy trope.
Yeah.
She's experiencing some morning sickness,
yeah,
but doesn't yet know she's pregnant.
Yeah.
So she's vomiting in a bin. And then her work colleague says to her, I hope you're not pregnant. And she says, you'd have to have sex to be pregnant. But then the distant stare of, oh, I did.
Yeah.
So she becomes stressed that she is pregnant. She can't remember when she last had a period. She runs to the pharmacy, buys all the
pregnancy tests. That's right. Every single one, 1,000 different brands.
Yes.
One
and
of each.
They go home and she pees on all the sticks.
Yeah.
And they're all positive.
Yeah.
She starts questioning. She tells One Night Stand Ben.
Yeah.
Which she does. Well, she calls him to arrange dinner and then they go to dinner the next night.
The conversation that they have at dinner is a bit awkward and they talk about whatever. But when we get to the meat of the conversation, she says, I'm pregnant. And Seth says, F off. which is funny, but also, like, I think that puts a fine point on the relationship dynamic between these two. Where he's just instantly, it's a joke or it's a lie or it's stupid.
Yeah, he thinks he's being pranked.
Yeah.
And she says, I thought you wore a condom. And he says, I thought you had something. And then tries to list off. Like, basically says, like, I thought you were responsible.
He said, I would have thought you had a dental dam or a patch or something.
Yes, that's right.
Dental dams are very American and we don't really have them here. At least I'm not aware of them here.
Yeah, you can get them here, but...
What exactly is a dental dam?
It's just a sheet of latex.
That goes in your mouth.
No, it's like a sheet of latex and the idea of it is that you can lay it down on the vulva.
What?
So that your teeth/mouth is not making contact with the vulva while you're down there with your mouth.
Right. How would that help in this circumstance?
It wouldn't. They're not designed for penetration.
No.
I don't know if it just shows his naivety/ignorance about...
I think that's exactly what it shows, yeah.
Birth control.
Yeah.
But also, because it's not just about birth control. It's not just about not getting pregnant. Mm. It's about avoiding STDs and STIs.
So he's just very naive and... completely unprepared for this eventuality.
Then they go to the doctor together to confirm pregnancy, and this is a week later.
Yeah.
So by my calculation, gone from conception to then 8 weeks later and now another week later, she should be 11 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
And at the doctor's office, he says she's 8 to 9 weeks. And I took issue with this because the movie is ignoring how pregnancy dating actually works. When you conceive a pregnancy, you're already technically 2 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
Because a pregnancy is counted from your last menstrual period.
Yeah.
You have your period, then 2 weeks later you ovulate, then that's when you can conceive a pregnancy, and so you're already 2 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
They get the timeline wrong.
Yeah.
And it really annoyed me.
Yeah. Some of the other things that happen in this scene is the doctor assumes they're married and nobody corrects him. And then
he says...
Yeah, he goes to do an internal ultrasound and says,
you do look a lot like your sister.
Yeah.
While staring her in the vulva.
Yeah.
And it felt really icky.
Yeah. He also, like, just goes ahead and does an ultrasound with no other conversation or preparation or anything in internal ultrasound.
I think a lot of women aren't prepared for the fact when you have an ultrasound early in pregnancy that your uterus isn't yet big enough to be able to see it from... Yeah.
External.
The outside.
Yeah.
So they use a probe internally in your vagina.
Yeah.
And they look at your uterus from the inside.
And they do see the fetus and heartbeat. Well, a fluttering, which he points out as the heartbeat, which is, yeah, that's right. Now we get to, Ben goes back to the dude ranch with all the dudes. And Jonah Hill's character is talking about abortion. And one of them doesn't like talking about it. Doesn't want Ben to give up any part of his baby. So instead, Jonah Hill is saying shmushmortion.
Yes, instead of right. They sort abortion. Of skirt around the- and that's also where they have a very strange conversation around well, you could have prevented this. One of them says, woman's on top, she can't get pregnant.
Yeah, it's I forgot gravity. About that.
And no oh one corrects him.
No, they just go on with it, which means that the people watching this go, oh, okay.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's obviously not true. You don't use any protection, you can get pregnant. Doesn't yeah. matter what position you're in.
They all gave him guff about not wearing a condom, but none of them really talked about STIs as a concern, no. just pregnancy.
There's no mention at all of...
disease, basically. Disease. Yes. Yeah.
Or even that they've had this one night stand and she has got pregnant and that perhaps it would be a good idea to have an STD screening.
Yeah. So the next scene is back with Allison and her mum. They also talk about abortion as a concept, but they skirt around it. They use the euphemism, take care of it. And then they talk about whether or not she'll show because her sister apparently didn't show until she was 6 months or something. And her mum describes her sister as a freak. And that doesn't yes. be normal. And you'll be showing it at least 2 months onwards.
Essentially saying, well, she says it pretty much, get fat.
I think it's later on, so I might be skipping ahead here. There's a scene at the breakfast table at Allison's house with the sister's kids, and they're talking about who Ben is to Allison, and they call themselves boyfriend and girlfriend, which is fine. And then Ben says, we're going to have a baby. They ask about where babies come from and that gets dismissed and they move on. The kid says, don't you need to be married to have a baby? Throughout this movie, there's this thread of you should be married before you have a kid.
Yes.
You should be married before you have a kid. Mum thinks you should be married before you have a kid. Ben's dad, I think, thinks he should be married before he has a kid. There's like this religious throughput in this movie that is very irreligious, coming from the marriage part,
yes.
but also about abortion. Yes. Which I just thought was interesting.
That's not jumping ahead too much because, yeah, by that point they've sort of accepted, yes, she's going to go through with the pregnancy and she's brought Ben into the fold. So he's like stayed yeah, over and he's there for breakfast. And then directly after the breakfast scene, Ben is outside playing with That's Allison's right. nieces.
Yeah.
And Allison's sister comments on Ben's weight.
Yeah.
He's a big guy yeah. and says, imagine how big your baby will be. So we're starting that, planting those seeds. Then they go through... a bunch of meet and greets with OBGYNs.
They call them gynecologists in this
that's
movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is interesting. Yeah, we start off with Ken Jeong, that's the actor's name, who grills her over cigarettes. I need to know when you had a cigarette. Have you ever smoked? When was your last one? And yeah, then she's like...
really full on. Then the second guy is really flirty, weirdly flirty.
Yeah.
And then the third is a female gynecologist who... he's doing an internal examination.
Everything seems to be normal.
Except then she says, oops, I'm in the wrong hole. She means that she's doing the examination from the rectum and not.
And then she says that happens about four times a day.
Yeah.
And then I think she went on to correct her behavior and go to the right hole with the same gloves on.
That she's even doing an internal examination at such an early gestation. But like there's no reason whatsoever to be doing it. That whole scene just really icked me.
Gross.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sure it was hilarious to the dude bros watching, but gross.
Then we cut to when she's meant to be 16 weeks pregnant and she's on set of her job and the wardrobe assistant picks up that she's pregnant
yeah.
and is trying to hide the pregnancy with clothing.
She brings it up as if it's clear to her that she can see Allison is pregnant and that Allison should know everybody can see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she's still very much trying to hide her pregnancy at her job.
Yeah.
And she's viewing these changes in her body very negatively. Then we cut to 24 weeks pregnant.
And we learn that the website that he's been working on has already been made.
Oh, yeah.
So there's the other undercurrent of this story is men not really committing to the relationship that they're in and their situation that they're in. Where obviously Ben is still smoking lots of weed and drinking lots and has no money, has no job, hopefully has a great website idea that we've just found out is going to go nowhere. At the same time, Paul Rudd's character is shirking responsibilities. It's just men not committing to either having a child or having a family, just trying to cling on to being a bachelor in a way that is kind of dumb.
Well, they say something about...
isn't it funny how your dreams die when you have kids?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what... they're having dinner and Paul Rudd's character says that to the table, which I don't think I would ever say that particular sentence. I kind of get what the conversation was at, which is that
life changes.
Life changes, yeah, and you're tied down in a way that you weren't before and you're not, they use in the conversation, you're not free just to go to India for a year. You have to be around for your kids.
I guess this is like trying to establish.
Yeah, children and pregnancy are a burden.
Yes.
To the man, specifically.
Yes.
Not to the woman. Neither of these women are complaining nor lamenting, nor even saying that they regret being in the situation and having the kids that they have or are about to have.
Ben and Allison's relationship starts to sour.
Before we get into the relationship souring is them having sex. Yeah, they're having missionary-style sex, and Ben's talking about how he doesn't want to squish the baby, so they change to another position with her on top, and then she gets extremely tired.
She doesn't like it because looks like a whale.
Yeah, she's got big jiggly boobs, and you're looking up at my double chins, yes, which she does not have. And then they go to
spooning
but sex. And the baby kicks Ben's hand off. And then sex is over.
And then there's an earthquake. And Ben runs out of the house with his bong. And doesn't check on Allison or help her in any way.
Yep.
And that's where their relationship starts to sour. Then we have a scene that says she's 28 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
She's heading to the gynecologist again. He complains, why do you have to go to the gynecologist so often? Then they have a fight in the car.
Yeah.
And she tells him to get out the car in the middle of nowhere.
The content of the fight, he's complaining about how she doesn't want him to smoke weed or something like that, and how he's sacrificed so much for this already. And she says that she sacrificed everything for this. I think she says, my body, my vagina, my job, and my youth.
Yes.
Are the things she specifically cites. Yeah, and then she kicks him out of the car.
So she gets to the gynecologist, and we have a scene with her on the scales, exchanging looks with the nurse about that she's putting on weight. And then Ben arrives at the gynecologist's office after he's walked there from where he got left. The fight continues and they break up.
Earlier in the pregnancy, he had found out that the sex of the baby. And at the end of this fight, he throws out the sex of the baby and storms off. I think he says, "Fuck you, it's a girl," and then leaves, which is not very nice.
Then we cut to a big montage about weight gain. She's interviewing various celebrities on the red carpet. I can't remember which celebrity said what, but one of them says, "You're so big already." Another says, "You're about to pop."
Yeah.
And she says to one of them, "I look like a fat cow." It's worth pointing out that she
does not.
No.
She has no visual changes aside from a round belly. In this scene, an older actor, I don't know, he might be famous, I don't know who he is, was touching all up on her belly as well. Unwanted touch.
Yes.
That's definitely on the bingo card.
Yeah.
And then we cut to a long sequence with Ben and Paul Rudd where they're just going whole hog at being douchebags. They go to pick up the dudes from the dude ranch, but they all have pink eye because they've farted on each other's pillows. So then Ben and Paul Rudd's character go off to Vegas to go do mushrooms and watch Cirque du Soleil and then spend the night in Vegas mushrooms freaking out about their relationships, sort of.
I guess the setup of that is that then Ben has an epiphany about needing to pull his life together. So, yes, then he goes and gets himself a real job and an apartment and a car.
Yeah.
And we cut to Allison during childbirth education with her sister Debbie.
That's right. That's Lamar's as well.
Lamar's, of course. And then Allison has an awkward moment at work. I think they say she's 7 months pregnant at this point.
Yeah.
And her bosses pull her into a room and say, "Well, you're obviously pregnant." And I mean, yes, she's obviously pregnant. And they say that they're going to embrace it because it turns out people love pregnancy. And then finish off the conversation with, "But when you get back, your focus is going to be on tighten up, tone up."
Yeah. The people who like pregnancy are the mum crowd, I think, is the idea. But when they said people like pregnancy, I instantly thought that they were talking about pregnancy fetish stuff.
I think there was a bit of an undertone of that. He says it in a way that alludes to something else, but they don't outright say it. It's a really, like, that whole interaction is very awkward of them sort of confronting her about the fact that she hasn't told them that she's pregnant and that it's fine because we can exploit the fact that you're pregnant.
Yeah.
But as soon as you're done being pregnant, you need to very much not be pregnant and make sure you get everything shipshape again.
Yeah.
It's real ick.
Yeah.
And so we're getting towards the end of the movie here.
Yeah.
And we finally get to the labor and birth.
So
really the majority of this movie has been pregnancy, setting up birth.
Pregnancy and relationship drama and quite a lot of stoner humor. So she's watching a movie that looks like it's supposed to be on the website and she starts breathing heavy and like clutching at her belly a little bit. And we get a little interstitial scene here where Ben's at his house reading his baby books and turns his friends down for going out.
And then she has a phone call with a gynecologist who's not her gynecologist. And it's...
Yeah.
She's really upset that it's not her gynecologist and that this backup is saying, no, he's unavailable. And the whole reason that she's so upset in this moment is because her gynecologist had promised that he would be there, that she would have continuity of care.
And he said in that scene, "I don't even go on holidays." And here he is on holidays in San Francisco for a bar mitzvah.
She calls Ben.
Yeah.
To let him know that she's in labor. He rushes over and he finds her in the bathtub.
Yeah.
being super calm.
Like a little paragon of calmness in the bathroom. Candles, yes, and the lovely bubbles, and I feel like chimes or some kind of soothing music. And he
says, what is this, a water birth? And she says, no, I'm trying to bring the baby in as calm as possible. If it's stressful when a baby's born, they carry that stress through life.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then she delegates to Ben that he needs to find the doctor.
Yep. He calls his home address, home phone number, I think, and gets the maid or whatever.
And then he calls the gynecologist.
On the mobile number that he got from her.
Yes, yeah. And leaves the most revolting voicemail you could imagine.
Mm.
Says to this gynecologist, because he's away having a personal life, like, I hope you die.
Yeah.
It's awful.
It's not, the phone call he's supposed to be making is, hey, why aren't you here? Can you be here, please?
Yes.
But what he actually does is just leave a very long, angry, sweary, ranty death threat.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah.
He breaks the news to Allison. She's still in the bath. She says her contractions are 7 minutes apart. Ben says to Allison, have your waters broken? She goes, I don't know, I'm in the bath.
He first says, that's okay. We don't have to worry until it's 4 minutes apart.
Yes, that's right. And then he asks, have you had a bloody show?
Yeah.
And she looks at him like, I don't even know what that is. And he sort of briefly explains it, not entirely correct, because he says, you have some bloody mucus come away and it means the baby's about to come. But, I mean, some women have a bloody show weeks before their baby arrives. So what they're trying to do is establish that, oh, he's finally done some reading.
Yeah, he's done a good job of that. Yeah.
Except it sort of sits in contrast with her, who we've had established throughout this movie that she's the prepared one and she's the one that's done education. And that she sort of knows that's everything.
That's really
good point. I feel like this is something that she would have known.
Mm. She has the same books that he has. She should know at least as much as what he knows.
Yes.
It's not even played in a way that you could excuse it by being like, oh, but she's stressed.
Yes.
She just forgot.
Yes. They use it as, oh, look how smart he's quickly become. So then they decide to go to the hospital and they call a backup doctor. The first gynecologist they met. The very first
one, Ken Jeong, again.
The one who'd questioned them about smoking.
Cigarettes.
Yes. So they call him. So she arrives at the hospital. She gets assigned a nurse who's male. There's a bit of a weird, awkward interaction about, oh, a male nurse.
Yeah, that's
it happens
true.
Very quickly. But anyway, they then go into a birthing suite. She's immediately in a bed on her back with a CTG. Institute monitoring the heart rate.
And he's trying to find a vein.
And that's right. Yeah, they have an awkward interaction about, oh, your veins were really hard to find. So she's got a cannula.
Yeah.
So she's got spontaneously gone into labor. She's had no complications in pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
There's been no issues with baby. Well woman, well baby. But she's on her back in a hospital bed with a CTG on, with a cannula in situ.
Yep.
Then the doctor arrives. He asks for an update. And the obstetric nurse says, she's 4 centimeters dilated.
Yes.
And Allison says to the doctor at this point, please, I want this to be as normal as possible. She's trying to establish her birth wishes. She says about her birth plan.
Yeah.
That she didn't want pain relief and she just wants it to be as natural as possible.
I think the doctor says immediately, like the second thing after walking in the room, let's pop that bag and give you some drugs.
Yes.
Doesn't specify what drugs, just says drugs.
Yes. Then after an indeterminate amount of time, the CTG machine starts alarming.
Yeah, it's a huge alarm too. It's not just like a beep bop, beep bop. It's a blap, blap, blap.
Yes, and the obstetric nurse comes back in, followed by the doctor.
Did you get a look at the trace before
we it's there, but it just is two lines. They don't go close enough to actually see anything, and the baby doesn't even seem to be moving. It's very much a prop.
Right.
And the obstetric nurse says to the doctor that there's decelerations.
Yep, decels.
Yes.
What is it? What is that?
A deceleration on the CTG means that baby's heart rate is dropping lower than expected, so dropping outside of the normal range for a baby's heart rate. And there's so many reasons that this could happen. And they start with, like, the first step is she's laying to one side and they get her to roll over.
Yeah.
So the doctor then, without any
consent,
without any sort of explanation, he goes straight into a vaginal examination. And he says to her, the baby's pinning down its cord and I'm just moving it.
Didn't he do one of these?
No. His hand is in the vagina and he is allegedly taking the pressure of the cord.
Huh. When I said one of these, I was motioning, turning the baby on the outside.
Yes, like an external cephalic version.
Yeah.
Which is not happening. This baby's head down.
I know what
those words are. Yes. And he says to Allison, I think the cord is around your baby's neck.
As there if is it's no like, thinking.
Bom, bom, bom.
There's no thinking. He says, the cord is around the baby's neck. I have to do things. I'm hero doctor.
Yes. The mood immediately goes from, oh, this is like a normal labor and birth to this is an emergency. We're not racing off anywhere yet, but you know that this is very much a problem. And I want to say a cord being around a baby's neck is not a problem most times. It's called a nuchal cord.
Nuchal?
Nuchal cord.
Cool.
And it's very common.
Yeah.
The cord has got this lovely substance called Wharton's jelly in it.
Wharton's?
Wharton's jelly.
Just checking all the names.
Which means that the cord can be around the baby's neck or sort of even kinked a little bit without affecting the blood supply to and from the baby because it's got that protective substance around it.
So to put it in dumb terms, it's not like a garden hose where you kink it just a little bit and it turns off.
No.
It's like a garden hose with a bunch of like foam around it sort of thing.
Yes. I mean, obviously there are instances where we would worry about a cord. So the biggest worry is a cord coming out first before the baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
This isn't what is happening here. So he immediately starts talking about augmenting her labor.
Yeah. The way he says the cord is around the neck thing, though, that the tone and his actions is like what I have seen when, and now it's time for a Caesar. And now it's time to, we need to cut your, it's urgent action time. It's panic bells. Everything's going now, right now.
Yes.
Not, and now let's progress with semi-normal birth, just augmented.
Yes. I don't think he uses the word, now we're going to augment your labor.
He says, give you drugs.
Now we're going to kick things off, which he means give you an oxytocin drip.
He says, we're going to break the bag and give you medicine, which is not named, because we don't want there to be an infection.
And then Ben says to the doctor,
can we have a talk outside?
Yes. And the doctor complains to Ben that Allison is a control freak and needs to let go.
Which she's absolutely not been in this instance.
No, all she's asking for is for things to be explained and for her wishes to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
But he very much takes it as she's the problem.
Yeah.
Then they agree to speed things up.
They have a bit of a relationship conversation in the room about not being apart, getting together in some way.
Allison's sister arrives and assumes she's going to take over as the support person, sort of not realizing that Ben and Allison are back on better terms.
Yeah.
And Ben then pulls Debbie, the sister, outside of the room and very sort of firmly tells her, I want to be in there without you.
Yeah.
But again, this is like a really awkward interaction because Allison's wishes don't seem to be involved here.
The movie has not shown us that she wants him and not anybody else in the room.
Yes.
It hasn't shown us that she doesn't want Debbie in the room.
Yes.
And it also hasn't shown us that she wants Ben in the room. Like it's kind of assumed, kind of all right in the movie, but yeah. He says to her, I need you to back the fuck off.
Yes.
Or something along those lines. Like very, very, it's not firm, it's harsh.
Yes.
It's over the top.
Yes. Everything sort of progresses quite quickly.
Yeah.
She's now in a semi-seated position. Her legs are open and her feet are on foot plates.
Yeah. So she's not in stirrups?
No. The doctor is between her legs.
Yep.
We've got the obstetric nurse in the room and we've got Ben in the room.
Yep.
She's screaming and she says, I need an epidural. And the doctor says, no, it's too late for an epidural. You're now fully dilated.
It's not clear at this point whether or not she's been given any medicine.
There is a drip up in the corner. So I think we've been left with the assumption that she was given the drugs to get labor going.
Yeah.
That's what was agreed upon after that really awkward interaction with the doctor. But there's been no mention of giving any pain relief up until now when she requests an epidural. So at this point too, so she's screaming again. And then the nurse says to her, you need to be quiet. You're scaring the other women.
That's right. Yeah.
And we also cut out to the waiting room where all of the friends are waiting and her sister and her brother-in-law are all waiting and they can hear all these screams too. And it's very much played out as though she's being unreasonably loud.
Yeah. We spent a bit of time in the waiting room with, so Debbie likes Ben now because she got told off, and the other mob are talking about how this much screaming can't possibly be normal.
So everyone in the waiting room is worrying about why she's screaming so much. So then one of the friends says, oh, I'm just going to go see if everything's okay.
Yeah.
He pops his head into the room and Allison's pushing at this point.
Yeah.
Being coached to push.
Yeah. And this seems to be like a fairly accurate portrayal of what happens in this moment. Forget about the visuals, but like the conversation and the pushing and all that, the sequence of events is right.
Yes. For a medicalized birth. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So then the friend pops his head in really briefly, and this is where we have the infamous scene.
Yeah, he's saying, it's crowning, as he's walking through the hospital corridor to the door.
It cuts to a shot between the leg of the baby's head crowning. It's very much a prosthetic vagina and baby's head.
Very much a prosthetic.
It's not particularly explicit. It's pretty clean.
Well,
there's no blood.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of hair visible on the baby's head.
Yep.
The labia is completely naked of hair.
Yes, that's true. That's really true.
And it's like...
Pick up on that, yeah.
What one would describe as like the perfect vulva.
Yeah.
As in there's no flesh in between the two labia.
Yeah.
Just a bit of baby head.
Yeah.
On view.
So yeah, it's clean and it's fine and all that. What's unusual about it is, first of all, it's a vulva being shown on screen.
Yes.
Even not in the state of pregnancy, that's unusual at a movie.
That's true.
At a standard movie. And then for people who haven't seen many or any, that first of all gives you a heightened sense of, oh my goodness, and because like if you're not expecting it and then you see, oh, it's a vagina, the 12-year-old dude reaction. And then you have on top of that, oh, but it's weird because baby's happening.
Yes,
it's stretching that much. Oh my god, it's stretching that much.
Yes,
is why it's gross. But it's not actually very gross at all.
What I'm saying is it's a very clean
image. Yeah.
Anyway, the friend goes back to the group and he's horrified.
Yep.
And tells everyone don't go in there. Which, yes, don't go in there. Don't go interrupting someone's birth.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know that character and Allison had even had a conversation that was more than maybe one word long.
No. We very quickly cut to the baby actually being born.
Yeah.
Of the doctor lifting the baby up from between the legs.
Yep.
And it's this sort of little sticky baby, a little bit of fake blood on the baby.
Yeah.
And
wrapped in a towel with a cord.
There's a cord that's been cut. We don't see when it gets cut.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a clamp on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And they pass the baby in a blanket up to Allison's chest. They don't talk about a placenta. No talk of afterbirth or anything like that. There's definitely no visuals of blood or anything like that.
Ben lets off his iron grip on the room and Debbie and Paul Rudd's character come in.
Yes, very quickly she gets a visit from her sister.
Instantly.
And then not long after, a visit from all the friends.
Yeah.
We don't see any breastfeeding or any...
No.
There's nothing. We don't see the baby get fed at all.
Was there any conversation of breastfeeding in this movie at all?
No, not in all the establishment towards birth. There's no talk about...
We didn't even get anything about, like, your boobs will get big, because that's relevant to the story about
they mentioned,
the...
There's a couple of times where they say that her boobs have got bigger. One of the friends comments on it.
Yeah.
And work, there's a mention of having bigger boobs, but there's no talk about those boobs are going to be used to feed a baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. The next scene is them all in the car, Allison, Ben, and baby in the car together going home, and he's driving really slowly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the credits start rolling, and we just get sort of happy family montage. So we don't really get a postpartum.
Nope, none of that. In the credits, we also get a kind of nice to watch montage of real photos of families and their kids, presumably the cast and crew.
Oh, yes, it's the cast and the crew of either when they've had babies or when they were babies.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. Yeah. So that's the movie. We've definitely skimmed over a whole lot of stupid jokes and a whole lot of like there's scenes where it's just Seth Rogen's character and some other male character just joke for no real purpose except for, I think, satisfying the stoner credentials of the movie.
And it's actually a very long movie.
It's a really long movie for that reason. You could make this movie an hour long or an hour and a half long. Cut all that crap out and just do the stuff that we care about.
Because the labor starts at 1 hour and 43 minutes.
Yeah.
It goes, the labor and birth goes for 9 minutes.
It's only 9 minutes?
Only 9 minutes.
Wow.
And then birth happens and it's all getting wrapped up.
So now having watched it again, how did perspective change from when you...
The one time I saw it before.
Yeah, what you thought about it previously.
I don't know if this is just me, but I don't think it lives up to the hype of being graphic and horrific.
I think we talked about this before we watched it again. That we had thought they had filmed a real birth scene and inserted footage of a real baby coming out of a real vagina at the end of the movie.
Yes.
But that's definitely not what we saw.
No, no.
And it was like 5 frames max that showed.
And very much a prosthetic.
Yeah. Something out of a science fiction prop set, maybe.
Oh, I mean, a good prop maker has made it, but it's not real.
Hmm.
So is this movie realistic?
Is it realistic? A lot of realistic things happen, to be sure. I think they captured a real sense of birth, as in, like, the way doctors react to it, the difficulty with getting your damn doctor there on the day, and the process of being pregnant, I feel like, is pretty real.
Yeah, there's a lot of realism in this, particularly if you apply a medicalized American lens
to
it. I think it's a great shame that she's a well woman with a well baby who becomes very medicalized sort of for no reason. And she's saying in her birth, I want this to be as natural as possible.
Yeah.
She's not being guided in any way to make it as natural as possible. She's not upright and active.
I think that's what I was saying about it being realistic, is that I don't, in the American medicalized system, where you have an OBGYN or a gynecologist, but no midwife and nobody advocating for you aside from maybe your family, that's probably what happens.
Yes.
Yeah. A second question is it a positive depiction of birth?
Not really.
I think it's a negative depiction of all of it, honestly. It's a negative depiction of sex because it was awful. It's a negative depiction of getting pregnant because you have this useless man attached to you because of it. A bad depiction of being a dad.
Yes.
Of family life. A bad depiction of birth because she gets railroaded into medical
and they land. Really try at the beginning to establish it as a good birth. It starts out super calm. She's super chill. They interweave the unnecessary drama about the doctor. And then they get to the hospital and she wants it to be it gets turned on its head as this dramatic scenario.
Yeah.
It is established that she is an active participant in her pregnancy and her birth.
So yeah.
From the moment she finds out she's pregnant, really right through.
Yeah,
she's doing as much as possible to prepare to have a baby.
Yeah.
You know, we see her doing the classes. She seems knowledgeable.
Yeah.
She is advocating. She has wishes. She has a birth plan.
Yep.
It gets messy in the actual birth.
Yeah.
And I mean, part of that is probably true that her care provider changes. She gets a care provider in the end who has a God complex.
Yeah.
And it's a movie. Yeah. So they have to bring in the drama.
I think another reason it's negative is the whole "ew, it's so gross" factor that they really hyped up for the movie and then didn't follow through with. It wasn't actually that gross, but
no,
the way that the movie portrays that is negative.
The selling point, if you will, of this movie, at least what I remember of it back in 2007, was that, oh, it's got a really graphic birth scene.
Yeah.
And how weird it is that that's a selling point.
If you find body fluids and all that to be gross, it wasn't even one of those.
No, they don't even.
It wasn't juicy at all.
Gory or.
They didn't show a gush. They didn't show any poop.
No.
They didn't show any blood.
Yet it's sold as, oh my God.
Yeah.
When actually it's just, oh yeah, well.
That's what's going to happen. Yes. It's got to come out somewhere.
Physiologically, that's how babies come out of bodies.
Yeah.
So the last question.
Was it entertaining?
Was it entertaining?
You go first.
I was not entertained by this movie. And look, I will acknowledge that I am not its target audience. This
not at all.
This movie very much feels like a dude bro stoner movie, and I do not fit either of those.
I kind of don't know why this movie was successful at all, because one half of it is the dude bro stoner stuff, and the other half of it is responsible dadding, like trying to get towards responsible dadding. And those two things are so opposed to each other.
Yes.
And like all the parts that have women in it of this movie, well, the main character women at least, are like, we're responsible, upstanding citizens who don't make dick and fart jokes. And then the rest of the movie is dick and fart joke central.
Yes.
And the rest of the movie is when nothing happens and the important stuff happens over here with the women.
Yes.
I don't know who this movie was really for. It's a confusing movie.
Really confusing. And I think that there's a lot of jokes made at the expense of women.
Yes, absolutely.
And at the expense of pregnancy and birth.
Yep.
And making out as though pregnancy and birth and having a baby are awful, gross things.
That ruin your life.
Yes.
I think that's those general words of ruining your life are talked about with every character and their parent figure.
Yes. And like, ha ha, this is it, you're done for.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think that's where I drew issue with it the most. There's really nothing entertaining about women being spoken about the way that they're spoken about in this movie.
Yeah.
And the exchanges in language, not only language around pregnancy and, you know, getting fat and it being gross and then of birth being gross and of your life being ruined.
Yeah.
Some of the exchanges even with people in this, you know, the phone call with the doctor, you know, saying like, I hope you die. And the way that the fight between Allison and Ben, the way he speaks to her in that.
Which she does not deserve at all.
No.
Like they also talk about how she's crazy and she's got hormones, so therefore she's crazy. But when she's actually talking about is a legitimate concern about their relationship, which is like the comparing Ben and what's-his-face's character about shirking responsibility and going off and doing your own thing. And that's a legitimate concern to her in this moment. Because he's that kind of guy who's going to go off and waste his life smoking weed and...
So not entertaining, and I probably won't be sitting down to watch this movie again. What I find really surprising on this subject of entertaining is the Rotten Tomatoes scores of this.
Yeah.
89% critics score point. And an 83% audience score.
Yeah, what do they like about this movie?
What do they like about this movie? And I did have a scroll through some of the comments, and it was obviously people who this sort of movie appeals to.
Of course.
This movie being this sort of set of stars that often came together around this time in movies. It really surprised me that this had such a high critic score, yet treats women and pregnancy and birth abhorrently.
Yeah, I wouldn't have watched this movie had we not been doing a podcast about birth. I wouldn't have gone back to this movie.
No.
I probably would have turned it off halfway through being bored of it.
Yes.
That's it for today.
If you would like to contact us or find our socials, please check the show notes for links.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Birth on Film.